What would you do to save your marriage? For Peter and Ainsley, the answer goes far beyond couples therapy or date nights. After 14 years together and 3 children, their once passionate relationship has deteriorated into parallel lives sharing a home. Their conversations revolve around logistics, soccer practices, dentist appointments, grocery lists, while intimacy has vanished like morning mist. When Ainsley proposes a radical solution one night after the kids are asleep, it seems desperate but logical. They'll each date other people while maintaining their family life together. The rules are meticulously crafted: designated days apart, fake names, protection required, regular testing, and above all, their children must never know. For Ainsley, this arrangement represents a last-ditch effort to recapture what they've lost. For Peter, it's a reluctant agreement tinged with fear about who his beautiful wife might meet. Neither realizes they're opening a door that leads straight into darkness, one that will expose secrets far more dangerous than infidelity. The arrangement begins with Ainsley's date with Stefan, a widowed Italian restaurant owner. As she transforms herself, auburn hair curled, silk red dress hugging her curves, removing her wedding ring feels momentous. Peter's jealousy shows as she leaves, suggesting dormant feelings beneath their marital stalemate. When Peter meets Mallory, a blonde massage therapist, their encounter escalates to intense sex. Unexpectedly, their jealousy rekindles desire, and for the first time in years, they make love with forgotten intensity. This fragile equilibrium shatters when Stefan messages Ainsley using her real name she never shared. When he appears uninvited at their home with a gun, Peter's protective instincts take over. Acting on adrenaline, he grabs his son's baseball bat and strikes Stefan with fatal force. Their horror multiplies upon discovering Stefan was wearing a police badge. Faced with having killed an officer, they desperately decide to bury his body under their porch rather than contact authorities. Their marriage, which they hope to save, now hangs by the thread of their shared crime. As Peter and Ainsley grapple with their status as unwitting killers, police reveal disturbing information. Stefan De Luca was likely a serial rapist. They found women's underwear in his truck and evidence connecting him to multiple victims. They suspect his wife Ileana was complicit and warn that Ainsley was probably Stefan's next target. Rather than bringing relief, this revelation intensifies their paranoia when news breaks that Ileana has also disappeared. Under mounting pressure, Peter confesses his affair with Seth, their friend's husband, explaining he's bisexual and it was merely a mistake. Before Ainsley can fully process this stunning revelation, she makes her own shocking confession, one that will completely redefine Peter's understanding of their marriage and the murder they committed together.
"I own your secret now, Peter. I own you," Ainsley declares with bone-chilling calmness. In their kitchen, she reveals the horrifying truth. She meticulously orchestrated Stefan's death from the beginning. What Peter believed was a mutual agreement to open their marriage had been an elaborate trap. She chose Stefan specifically because his position as a police officer would complicate the crime. For months, she'd cultivated their relationship, feeding Stefan stories of Peter's supposed abuse, knowing exactly how to trigger Peter's protective violence. In Ainsley's twisted logic, this manufactured tragedy is a gift, a terrible secret binding them together permanently against abandonment. When Peter suggests their marriage cannot survive such betrayal, she lists the evidence she's preserved: the murder weapon's location, Stefan's body, communications painting Peter as the aggressor. Most disturbing is her ability to compartmentalize, shifting seamlessly from confessing murder to asking about dinner plans and their daughter's homework. Peter faces an impossible choice: kill her to protect himself, or remain trapped in this marriage forever.
6 months later, Peter and Ainsley have settled into a new normal. They've built a concrete patio over the burial site and embraced total honesty in counseling. Their marriage has rekindled with surprising passion. As Peter finishes the patio, Ainsley expresses relief that they've survived. When Peter thanks her for fixing their marriage, she simply replies that fixing things is what she does best. But beneath this facade lies one final secret. After Ainsley goes inside, Peter enters a hidden, soundproofed room behind the garage that he designed when building the house. Inside, he cleans blood from a freezer before retrieving Ilya's pearl bracelet. He opens a drawer containing his black duffel bag, a collection of trophies from 15 women he's killed over 17 years. When he unzips it to add Ilyana's bracelet, he finds only a sealed envelope from Ainsley. Her note reads, "Sorry, honey, rules are rules. No more secrets." His stomach twists as he realizes the truth. She's known about his serial killings all along and orchestrated the confrontation with Stefan as part of her own game of control. The arrangement brilliantly explores how we never truly know those closest to us, even after years of intimate connection. Peter and Ainsley's marriage represents the ultimate facade, appearing normal while concealing layers of betrayal and murder. Their suburban lifestyle and roles as devoted parents serve as perfect camouflage for darker impulses, suggesting that dangerous predators often hide in plain sight. The story meticulously examines human capacity for self-deception. Peter compartmentalizes his murders as separate from his identity as a loving father, while Ainsley justifies her schemes by Peter's betrayals. Both expertly maintain public personas distinct from their secret lives. Perhaps most chilling is how their shared crimes create a powerful, albeit toxic, bond. After killing Stefan, they experience renewed intimacy born from complicity, a dark mirror of their original courtship. The fear of discovery, adrenaline of covering their tracks, and relief of temporary safety create emotional highs that mimic lost passion. Their relationship intensifies not despite their crimes, but because of them, revealing how crisis can temporarily revitalize a dying connection. The final twist reveals their marriage isn't saved, but transformed into a mutually assured destruction pact, each holding enough evidence to ruin the other, binding them more tightly than love ever did. Their renewed passion stems not from love, but from the intoxication of being fully known, however terrible that knowledge might be. Their children become unwitting hostages to this toxic arrangement, growing up in a home literally built over bodies. The facade of normalcy, packed lunches, soccer games, family nights, becomes an elaborate performance, perhaps their only remaining moral act. Though even this attempt at protecting their children's innocence is fundamentally dishonest. What begins as a desperate attempt to save a marriage reveals itself as a chess match between predators, each manipulating the other in a deadly game where the stakes include life itself. The question isn't whether their marriage can be saved, but whether either deserved salvation. Their story serves as a dark cautionary tale about clinging to fundamentally broken relationships and how the most perfect-seeming marriages might conceal the most perfect monsters.